Anybody ever feel like we're in an ark? Isn't the house of the Lord like an ark? Saved from the flood, saved from the world, saved from the wickedness. God preserving his seed. I mean, wow, right, Jamel? Yeah. Oh, man. But, you know, these types of examples in the Old Testament were meant to bring us to these conclusions. You know, if we live in the new covenant of the Lord Jesus, then all the Old Testament examples are meant to bring us to a place, spiritually speaking, that we're able to join in with and believe. I mean, that's awesome. And that's what we're here to do. That's what we're here to learn. And lately, well, the Lord's been working on some things, hadn't he? When we think we have arrived, what's the Lord want us to know? Stay humble and keep seeking the Lord. Because, well, especially in this life, if you notice this life in the earth, is like an example of getting to a promised land and yet leaving enemies among your promised land, among the land that you live in. And that's what Israel did in the Old Testament. They got there, but they left some enemies, right? And how many of you have ever felt that you've arrived in the promised land and the enemies were still present? Like, what? What is that? Well, that just means that there's more to come. The Lord needs to do is to finish his work. And we've been talking about that, allowing the Lord to finish his work. And that's why we dove in Daniel chapter 9 last Monday we got into there and we basically said that, look, Daniel was repenting and praying, but the Lord showed him the will of God by sending Gabriel and saying, look, I've got things I need to accomplish. And so how many of you have ever judged your physical situation as a captivity or a testing? You know, I hope you learned something. Did you? Has anybody ever went through a testing and then just flubbed it up and didn't pass the test? The will of God is to learn something so that we can move into greater things, man. It's like, how are we supposed to understand spiritual things in which we cannot even see when we can't even learn from the earthly things that we can see? What do you think? Be tough to walk in an invisible realm, blind as a bat, and that stems from not learning where God give us the opportunity. God's given us the opportunity to learn right now. And you know what I love about it? He does use this world as some good places to be tested, but really the testing's not outside of us, right? It's in us. So the testing begins, just like judgment, in the house of God, with the people of God. And so we have been talking about this, and Naomi was talking to me on the way to church today and sharing some things. I actually asked her to share that with us because there's a thought about teaching on the wilderness and going through the wilderness, the perception that you might have had versus the perception that you should have now after we've been teaching this, right? Go ahead, Naomi. Do you have that scripture as well? Yeah, go ahead.
I was thinking this morning as far as the wilderness, and we've been talking about that. And, you know, when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, how were they led? The Lord led them during the day by a cloud and by a pillar of fire at night. He was there with them the whole time, leading them and guiding them. He did not leave them, you know, and our perception of the wilderness, you know, it's been distorted and it's, but God's there with us the whole time and he's teaching us and testing us. And that was just, I don't know, I just thought that was really cool to see that he was, you know, to remember that. that he was there day and night, 24/7 with them.
Right. And get that scripture you said that I'm going to have her read this scripture she was reading to me on the way that was really good. Notice how we talked about this Wednesday night. This is the quiz. How or why is a wilderness a bad thing? And to who is it bad? Okay. Did you hear everybody here, Dave? It's bad to those who are disobedient, those who are rebellious, the unbelieving. See, the enemies of the Lord. See, that's who it's bad to. But if you notice what Naomi just said, was it God's will to lead Israel into the wilderness? Was it God's will to lead Jesus into the wilderness? Yeah, what's so bad about that? If God is leading us, then why would we not want to be tested? Right? You know, there's a scripture, we don't have to go there, but how many remember, I think it's in John, where he talks about that those who love darkness, what do they do when the light is shown on them? They run and hide, don't they? Well, that makes sense. When the light comes and when God's shown his light upon you in a testing time and darkness is revealed, and if you love your darkness, what are you going to hate? The light. You're going to hate the place of testing if you love darkness. If you love light, you will look at your wilderness and go, I am here because the Lord is proving that he is alive in me. And he will provide for me and he will do his work for me. And so Naomi was telling me that she got to thinking about that chapter, Deuteronomy 8, that we read last Sunday. And tell us what you thought about that, why you're looking at this verse.
Yeah, well, I was reading Deuteronomy 8, and I got thinking, well, what led to this? Like, what came before this, you know, to leading up to Deuteronomy 8?
Let me remind you, Deuteronomy 8 is when the Lord says, I put you in the wilderness to test you and to prove you, to see what was in your heart. I took care of you. I provided for you. You never lacked anything. Remember that? And those that went on to read saw a pretty big, awesome picture of the Lord. So I wanted to remind you of that before she read this. And so she's looking at the chapter before.
Yeah. So in chapter 7, verse 7, it says, the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, has the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of the bondmen from the hands of Pharaoh, king of Egypt.
Hold on. Stop right there. Notice what he said. Is that up here? I didn't love you because you had a lot. I didn't love you because you're a great big people and all of that. Wow, man. You were few. But I chose you because I loved you, right? And I'm going to keep my oath. I'm going to keep my word of what I promised you. And so God's choosing. Notice how this right here, where is the symbolism of when he is saying this? Notice how he's talking about, I redeemed you out of the house of the bondman from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Wait a second. After he redeemed them from Egypt, where did they go? The wilderness. And he's letting them know, I brought you there. I loved you. I loved you. I have a word for you. My oath will not fail. So why does the wilderness discourage us as if we're not in the house of God? Why would it? It shouldn't. Is there more to read there?
Verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keeps covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations.
I just have to say, like, this is God talking. God Almighty. And yet, Keith, that unbeliever, how in the world? We got to ask, like, how in the world does an unbeliever remain in our midst, in our thoughts, when God says stuff like this? And so here we are in our church, and the Lord is reminding us, I have said some pretty powerful things to my people. And if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I will do what I said, because I am not like men and women who lie. I will keep my word. And so how many promises have we been given in this place? Oh boy, many, many, many. God will honor every single one of them. So what is the wilderness set to do? Thank you for that. Is there more? You good? Thank you for that. Because what the Lord is saying to us is that, you know, these journeys that you're making, that I've led you through, you don't have to fear any of them. All this testing, all this trial, even the captivity is meant to help the people of God. Tim reminded us from the book of Revelation Wednesday night. The devil will cast some of you into prison for 10 days. But what's he tell us not to fear? Death. Don't fear death. Because if you trust the Lord, what is he to you in a time of death? Life, which is resurrection. You think God meant what he said, that I will not leave my soul in hell? You think he meant that? Oh, he meant it. So John, in a place of testing where death is revealed in you, what's the hope? God won't leave me there. What's the resurrection will come, because God will not break his oath. He just won't do it. So here this morning, what are we supposed to live by when we're going through testing and learning? Because look, the world is no joke in you. Got a lot of voices in there, doesn't it? And they talk pretty loud sometimes. But here's the thing. Imagine if the hope of God's oath is in our heart. We will never, ever, ever fall again. We will walk through that testing and come out true as gold. And the Lord will be our guide right through it. And so to the point, I never left you. I never left you, like Naomi said. God brought them into that place, and God was always there. He said, I will have a pillar of fire at nighttime, which brings light to darkness, and I will have a cloud by day, which rested, his glory rested in both. And so with that in mind, if you just came out of Egypt and through a Red Sea and were baptized and put off the old man Pharaoh, and now the Lord is telling you, I have a cloud to follow and fire by night, wouldn't that get you excited about going through a wilderness? It should. Until what activates in you? You worldly thoughts. In other words, you would be excited about following God until what blindsides you? What hits you upside the head? Your own lust, your own worldly thoughts, your own desires. All of a sudden you find out you got sin in you. What happens to you when you find all that out? You know what happens? Michael will tell you.
Oh, I think it would be fear, because he said to fear not. So that would be one of the things that hits you, is fear.
Fear of what? Like, you're saying it. Fear that God won't raise you up? Fear that you'll die there and God won't save you? Condemnation, abandonment.
Fear that you're not as great as you think you are.
that, look, that's a crazy thought, and it's profound at the same time. She's like, you fear that I'm not as good as I thought I was? Yeah. That's human nature, man. That's the devil working in you. And because the thought of man is that I've got this. I do it my way, and we go through it, and God purges all that, or wants to purge all that out. And then you get in that wilderness, and you realize sin is present. And then here's what I was after for sure is this, Micah. What do you start believing, and who do you start believing is the sin? You. You start believing it. And once you believe you're the sin, what happens? Do you fall? Do you fall into the earth and you can't get up? Yeah, there's drunkenness there. A whole lot of it. And therefore, there's got to remain this hope and this remembrance. When all of you are being tested and going through it, you got to remember the Lord's oath does not fail. That's back to sitting at the table, right? What happens when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Paula? You fear no evil. Why? Wait, who's with you? The Lord my God, who put a cloud by day and a fire by night, is walking with you through it. Kind of sounds like Jesus, because we're doing the Jesus version of this wilderness. Everybody with me on that? Can we do that? Can we like trade out for the old version of rebellion and sin and get into the new version of the wilderness where we follow the Lord and we look at Satan and say, it is written? Paula. That's right. His promise is he won't leave you, won't forsake you. Look, there's only one thing that the Lord will not look upon with great love and admiration. What is that? Is that not your sin and your wickedness and your rebellion? Oh, he looks upon it. But he's not going to love it. And that's the thing. Like, if you notice the scriptures that Naomi just read, it all comes back to the same thing every single time. Keeping the commandments, following the Lord, being faithful to him. And last week we described how that works in the New Testament. But we talked about in John, there were four different times where, remember where Jesus talked about, if you love me, keep my commandments. And he changed out the commandments for the word and his sayings. Did you guys go back and look at that? Like, you should. And so really the answer to everything is let God's word create love for God in you. If you don't have God's word, do you think you'll love God? How could you? Right? It has to be, Nancy, it has to be God's word in you that causes you to love him. You know why, Nancy? Because it's God's word that causes him to love you. And therefore, we bring love back through the word. That's pretty simple.
Isn't that your foundation?
That is your foundation. You know, your whole life should be built upon the love of God. And the word of God, loving him. The word of God is definitely your foundation. It's why I say if you in your mind say that I love God, but yet you still have hatred and anger and fear and you don't love the word of God, reading the word of God, do you know what you need? I'll tell you what you need. If that's you and you say those things but you don't really live by that, then what you need is for God to put you in a wilderness to show you that your words are not lining up with your heart. And if God puts you in the wilderness, he'll expose that and you will come out clean God will save you from your enemies. He'll show you what error is in your heart, and you'll come out of that wilderness ready to serve the Lord. So wouldn't that be a good thing? So how many's ever said things before and didn't mean it? Come on, everybody. This morning? Yesterday? Listen, pay attention to your words, because there are no idle words in God. I had somebody text me that this week. I had to say it. There are no idle words in God. So what if our words are idle? Not just toward one another, Marty. What if our words are idle toward God? How many of you go through your thoughts, you pray, but you just pray it while you're doing something? And you're thinking about God or wanting to talk to God, but you're doing other stuff too. Is it possible that your words toward God have become idle because you're so distracted with other things? Is that possible? We need a wilderness to order that out, to bring that to the surface. So I like a wilderness. I want to read something to you, because it's the journey here is not through the Old Testament. I've told you that here the last few weeks. The journey is through the new covenant, through Jesus Christ. Well, let me show you something that's very, very spiritual. And I'm going to get Tim to read this for me. And I want to turn to Revelation chapter 12. And how many remember a woman of God was in heaven? She was giving birth to a son. She birthed the son. The dragon was there to devour the son. And then what happened? A war broke out. Michael and his angels against the dragon and his angels. And who won that war? Michael, what'd they do to the dragon? They cast him out to the earth. So I think it's verse 13. Let's try that first. Let me see. Yes. Read that, Tim.
And when the dragon saw that he was cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman, which brought forth the man-child.
Oh, hold on. The dragon went to persecute the woman that brought forth the Son of God. Who is this woman? Do you guys know? Who are we talking about, Deborah? Good, hold on right there then. You gave a right answer. Keep reading, next verse.
And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent.
Hold on right there. See, the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness. Who was she just delivered from? The dragon. Now go back to the Old Testament. We just talked about Pharaoh, how Israel was delivered from Pharaoh. You got something, Dave?
Read verse 6,
Tim.
And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days.
Now that, listen to this. Who prepared that place? God did, right? Thank you, Dave. But notice, she fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Let's not get into the days yet. But God led her there, right? After facing who? The dragon, right? Satan, right? And God delivered her and led her straight into the wilderness. Now go back to verse 14. And what happened there, Tim?
And to the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent.
Okay, nourished. Where? Nourished. Why is the wilderness a bad place again? Why is that? When they had no water, Megan, what did God give them? How did he do that? They went to the waters of Meribah. They were bitter.
And God told them that was it the branch, they had to put a branch in the water and it made it sweet.
And it made this water sweet they could drink.
Yeah, he gave them sweet water.
Did he help them?
Yes.
Do you know what Israel didn't want to do? Obey God. When they ran out of food, what did he give them?
Manna.
He gave them manna to eat. He nourished them. And not only did he do that, every time they had an enemy, did he make a way out? When did they only fail to their enemies? When they were rebellious and full of sin. Okay? I'm making my point very strong here, and I've got to take you to the Old Testament again to show you something here. But notice, he nourished her. He prepared the place. So, if we think we are out of the will of God by going through testing and having sin revealed, then you have ignored the idea that God prepared the place for you to go there and learn that. And therefore, I would put on my happy face when God says, I need to test you, John. And remember back in the day, it's like, test? I don't like tests. Most of the time, it's because you felt inadequate to pass it. But what you don't know about being tested is that God gives you the answers as you're taking the test. Hello, everybody. Because we thought, like they teach us in school, that we study on our own and then we take the test. But what we forgot is that the teacher actually gives us all the answers while they're teaching us. And if you only do what the teacher said while you're being taught, the test is very, very easy. And you know why people fail tests? They don't listen. We don't listen. Like, the commandments come forth and tell us how to live, how to act, how to think, how to be like God. And when we don't listen, when the devil comes in to test it, what happens? You fail. But those who can hear the words of God and the promises of God will always pass every test 100% of the time. You will never lack a word from God. You will never lack food, drink, clothing, words, you will lack nothing. Housing, all of it. And I am talking spiritual. Okay? And so notice, she will be nourished into her place. Is that she might fly into the wilderness into her place. Okay, I'm going to read a scripture to you. Go ahead and put it up there is Exodus 19. Actually, read it for me, Tim. Exodus 19. Let's look at verse 3. Actually, start in verse 1. Start in verse 1, Katie. Exodus 19:1.
In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount.
Okay, the mount of God, Sinai. Is that where Moses got his Ten Commandments? Is that where Moses met God on the mountain? Notice, they came to this mountain and camped there. They're in a wilderness, people, and there's a mountain of God there, where God is meeting with Moses. My goodness, man, that is awesome. Go ahead.
And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus says the Lord to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself.
Everybody stop. Everybody got it, right? What did he give the woman in heaven? The woman of heaven, he gave her eagle wings, carried her into the wilderness to be nourished. She escaped the dragon, and she was brought into the wilderness to be nourished. Is he telling the same story that he told about Israel in the Old Testament?
Yeah, when Ezekiel, they call Pharaoh the dragon, too.
Yes. Yes, in Ezekiel, they call Pharaoh the dragon. That's because he is. And those examples for us coming into the new, who is this woman now? Yes, it's you. Is it the church? God's children. The bride. What? So you had it, Deborah. You were on the right track. Is it us? Well, you don't think God will help you escape the dragon, pick you up, give you wings, pick you up, and fly you into the wilderness? That sounds like a purpose that God had, intent. No, I have to get to that, right? I brought you unto myself?
In the wilderness.
Wow, look at there. And he's saying this to Moses on top of the mountain where he brought all the Israel to him. Now, if Israel wasn't so rebellious, the people of God says, let's just say it like it is. The people of God, because we could go, well, that was them back then. No, that'd be us today. Yeah, that'd be us today. And if the people of God will not be rebellious and follow God, they will be delivered. And they will be transformed into the very likeness and image of God through Jesus Christ. And so we have this great parable that this woman, now we read that. Oh, wait, is there one more verse? Tim, see if there's a, yeah, go ahead.
Now, therefore, if you obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine.
I'm just thinking about all these words that God is saying to these people. That's us. Keith, that's, read, go ahead.
And you will be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you will speak unto the children of Israel.
Who's that sound like? Well, it sounds like Revelation 1, right? Have you read Revelation 1? Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about then. Well, maybe you should read it, because what has Jesus called all his people to be? Kings and priests? Now, it also sounds like Peter's preaching too, where he called us what, Megan?
A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people.
Oh! A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people? To do what?
To show forth his
praises. Well, I'm glad somebody knows the Bible around here. But pay attention. This, go back to verse 5. If you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant. God has been saying the same thing the whole time. That if his people who are called by his name will humble themselves, seek my face, fast and pray, God's promises will be bountiful to his people. And I just think, thank you for reading that. You'll notice, matter of fact, let's go find back in Revelation. There might be one or two more verses there I need to read. But check this out before we go. I just think that, As a matter of fact, turn that off. I don't think I'm going to read anymore. I think this way. The Lord's been really good to us. And remember, do not forget this, because I've taught this many times, but do not forget this. A commandment is all about perception as well. Okay? If the commandment is to eat off of every tree of the garden and do not eat off of this one because you will die, is it to just keep something from you because God is selfish? Or is keeping his commandments meant to keep you so that he could bring you into eternal life? So if he ever commands you something, he is going after the sin in you and the fear and the doubt and the unbelief and the lies. He's going after all of that to help you overcome it. A commandment will help you overcome it. That's why the commandments are typed as the sayings of Jesus. Because Jesus comes and he gives all these words that help you overcome and enter into eternal life. So, are we going to follow the example Jesus gave us and go through the wilderness that way? We are, aren't we? Well, who wants to go back to Egypt? Anybody? Egypt was a place of delusion. Egypt is a place of causing us to live under the rule of a dragon and a pharaoh and a wicked mindset. God wants to deliver us out of that and bring us into a land where there are no delusions, where we're free of those spirits and free of those captivities. Do you want to go there? Well, then we're going to be humble and we're going to follow the voice of the Lord. And that's as simple as it is, right? And so how many now have a brand new understanding of the wilderness, and it's a place prepared by God so you can be nourished, so you can learn what you need to learn? And God can show you his faithfulness and his power, because that's really what the wilderness was meant for. I want to teach my people my faithfulness. And we can find scripture for that, but we're out of time. And have you already been through some wilderness journeys where you've learned God's faithfulness? Well, don't be surprised if you might have to just learn a few more things. Just go through it and learn it and let God be blessed. What do you guys think? Any questions? Megan, I know you got something to say. Go ahead.
I was thinking how I love how you are. You've been teaching us a whole other way to view the wilderness, right? And how to see it as the children of God and with God's purpose and his mindset. And you and I were talking Wednesday night about how the wilderness wasn't just a place to overcome the man of sin, but a place to learn God's faithfulness. And actually, Naomi read it this morning. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy with them that love him." And I was thinking how we could know it because someone's told us. You know, we've had conversations about this too. I can know it because you've told me and believe it, but isn't God also proving this wilderness is an opportunity for every one of us to know his faithfulness, because God shows us his faithfulness in this wilderness when we have that right mindset, when we're obedient and we believe God's word and we follow him as he leads us through it. We will see his faithfulness.
Right.
And we'll know it because now I know it by experience. And you'll know it because you know it by experience, not just because I heard about it, but because it's been my experience too, that God's taught it to me.
Right. Yeah.
And now it's my testimony. Yeah.
That's awesome. And you know what? When I came through that idea right there, I knew one thing, that was the most intimate time of your life, my life. You know why? Because there was no other help but God. And that's where you grow up and to become a sons and daughters of God. You go through that, you come out the other side and see God's faithfulness. No one could tell you otherwise after that, that God's not faithful. Right, Dawn? Nobody. Because God showed you himself he's faithful. That's cool. So basically in our church, God has done some good things for us. But if rebellion and dishonesty is still in your heart, God needs to get it out. You good with that? All right.